You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
Sacred desk this morning. Amen. To my brethren and the clergy, to all of you, my father's children, it is truly good to be here on this Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Get out your way so that I can go have a brunch, if you will, with my wife as we celebrate our anniversary today. So I'm going to try to do this real quick. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. I want to begin reading with verse number 1. I'll read a few of the following. There you will find these words. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire of the midst of the burning of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Verse number 5 says, And he said, Draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thy stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7, just in your hearing. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. This morning, I want to tag the text with this thought, the testimony of a burning bush. The testimony of a burning bush. If you would allow for me to give you the backdrop for our discourse today, Moses is interesting to us, for Moses has been raised in Pharaoh's house. One day, Moses, who is a Hebrew, raised as an Egyptian, he sees an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew. Exodus chapter 2 teaches us that Moses, when he sees it, he slays the Egyptian. When he slays him, the Bible tells us that he hides him. He buries him. He doesn't think anyone sees what he has done. The very next day, he goes out and he sees two Hebrews arguing with each other. And as he sees the two Hebrews arguing with one another, the Bible teaches us he tries to stop them. And one of them says, what you gonna do? Are you gonna slay us like you did the Egyptian? Moses, out of fear that somebody knows what he has done in secret, hides, runs to a place called Midian. If you would allow me for a moment to back up and try one more time. Moses slays an Egyptian. He thinks no one knows. Comes out the next day and find out somebody saw him. Which which puts a pen there for us that sometimes what you think you done in the dark will soon come to light. You can sit there and act like don't nobody know what you did if you want to. But there are people watching you even when you don't think nobody's watching you. And if that's not good enough for you, you should know that God is always watching. The Bible says that he neither sleeps nor slumbers. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. You cannot escape God seeing what you do. Moses says, you know what? I think Pharaoh might know. Just in case he do, I'm going to flee to a place called Midian. Moses says, I got to get out of Dodge because if I don't, Pharaoh will kill me. Moses gets out of Dodge, and when he runs, he flees to a place, and he finds there seven young ladies who have been sent out by their father by the name of Jethro to take care of the flock. And the Bible teaches us that there are some shepherds there that deal harshly with the women. Moses sees them dealing harshly with the women, and the Bible says that he helped them. When you translate the word help, it literally denotes that Moses handled the shepherds. He dealt with them for how they mistreated the women. Moses is in a place of Midian. Midian is a town that is known to us as a place of strife. In a place of strife, Moses decides, I'm going to help the people who are in trouble. The Bible tells us that these daughters then go home early, for Moses not only helped them with the shepherds, but then he fed or watered the flock for them, which allowed them to return home early. When they got home early, the daddy said, how is it that you got here early? The daughter said unto him, an Egyptian helped us. Okay, y'all missed it. Moses is not an Egyptian. He's a Hebrew. But something about him said Egyptian. So they judged him based upon what he looked like and not what he really was. Okay, come here, let me see if I can help you out. Most of us in the sanctuary right now, people are judging you based upon what you look like and not what you really are. Okay, let me see if I can help you out. Some of you came here looking real good this morning, but you've been going through hell. And we think your life is good because of how you look, but the reality is you don't really feel like what you look like. He was an Egyptian by look, not by nature. Okay, that ain't good enough for you. Let me see if I can help you out. All of us are sinners, and we got something going on the inside, but the grace of God that covers us doesn't allow us to look like the sin that we have been in. He's an Egyptian by the way he looks, but by nature, he's a Hebrew. And the Bible tells us that they go and get him. They go and get him, watch it, in a place of strife, running from my enemy. Notice what God does. God gives him a good thing. Yeah, y'all didn't read the Bible. That's cool. You cannot have a father-in-law without having a wife. Come here. So in order for him to have a wife, the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. He found something good in a place of strife. Can I submit unto you, no matter how down your life is and no matter where you are, God can still manage to find some good and give it to you no matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with. There's still some good that can come your way, because if God can give it to you, can't nobody take it away from you. God has something for you. It ain't about what the preacher, the people, the pew, nobody has to say for you. If God has something good for you, you still gonna get it. We said it like this in the church: what God has for me, it is for me. He has father-in-law because he has a good thing. Verse number 1 of chapter number 3 teaches us that he kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. I need you to notice this.
when we get to verse number 2 and we find a bush that's on fire, we notice that God never speaks to Moses until Moses is finished his work with Jethro. Okay. Understand this. God is not calling the brilliant, he's calling the busy. Okay, you think I'm lying? I got a Bible. He calls Elisha while he's plowing. He calls David while he's shepherding. He calls Peter while he's fishing. If you want to hear God, maybe you ought to get busy doing something. He calls Elisha while he's plowing. He calls David while he's shepherding. He calls Peter while he's fishing. If you want to hear from God, maybe you ought to get busy doing something. He calls him after he's busy from the burning bush. Now, you must understand something. The Bible is unique to us because Moses sees a bush that's on fire in the midst of the desert. Here is my question for the text. Moses, this cannot be the first time you've seen a bush on fire. Can't be. Here it is. According to science, if it gets to a certain temperature in a desert, a bush might catch on fire. Dry heat might cause the bush to catch on fire. One. Secondly, humans can set a bush on fire. Lightning can strike and set a bush on fire. Moses, what is it about this bush that allows you to turn your attention to see what's going on? Moses says, I'll gladly tell you. The bush is on fire, but is not destroyed. Here's the testimony of the bush. The bush says, the problem is, I'm not the issue, you are. And God knows that he had to set me on fire, not to destroy me, but that you was nosy enough to get in my business. And God says, I'm going to use your nosiness to draw you close to me so that you would now hear what I got to say. Come here, let me talk to all the nosy people. God is going to use your nosiness to reveal to you what he got to say. Can I help out all the nosy people? You want to get in everybody else's business? God says, come on, I'm going to speak to you through what somebody else is going through. You want to know why I didn't destroy me? Because it was never about me, it was to draw you. The bush says, I did nothing. This was for God to get you, not me. And I, for some of us, that should be a good place to shout, because you've been trying to figure out why your life is where it is, why you're going through what you're going through. The harsh reality is, it's not about you. God is using your circumstance to draw somebody close to him so that he can have a conversation with them. It's some folk that would never hear God if you never went through. Burning bush is innocent. I've done nothing. I was minding my own business when God showed up. Story goes on to tell us that the burning bush is burning. Moses says, I will turn aside to see this great sight. He goes over, and the Bible records that out of the midst of the bush, God speaks and tells Moses, take off your shoes, for where you stand is holy ground. Pastor, I researched this because it was unique to me that before God even revealed his identity, he tells him to take off something. If you really want to know who I am, you've got to take off something. And the harsh reality is we miss God because we won't take off stuff. Can I point the shoes out to you? Let me see if I can point shoes out. The shoes have been walking through shepherding, which means he have been walking through mud, possibly. He's been walking through mess, possibly. And God says, where you're standing, you can't bring mess in my presence. Come here, let me see if I can help you out. What the text was really tailored to teach us, that if you really want to hear from God, you got to take the mess off before you get in his presence. You can't come in God's presence and be messy at the same time. Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. This is a place without blemish. So that means you can't bring your messed up stuff into a perfect place. Here it is. This is what the bush really tells us. The bush says God made Moses change what he would have ordinarily did on his own if God wouldn't have been there. Here's what I'm saying. Moses would have walked up to the bush with his shoes on. But because God is now dwelling within me, you got to take off what's messed up. Okay, you missed it. If God is living in you, then there's some things folks shouldn't do around you. Y'all ain't gonna help me. It's okay. There's some drinks folks shouldn't have around you. It's some smokes they shouldn't have around you. It's some things that should not be said around you. Because God is in you. And if God is in you and that's a representation of his power, you become the holy place. Okay. The bush without God ain't holy. But the bush with God is holy. You without God ain't holy, but you with God is holy. And there's some things you shouldn't tolerate because God is with you. The problem is when you start putting up with stuff, we know how holy you really are. All right. All right. It's cool. Y'all ain't got to help me. I'm gone. Watch text. It says, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. Notice the context of the scripture. Moses does not argue with what he has to take off. I ain't got time to argue. God, I hear the voice. Something has drawn me. I'm taking it off. Can I help you out? We must notice that when you look at the life of Moses, he is divided up into what we call the 40-40-40. The first 40 years of his life, he's raised up in Pharaoh's house. The next 40 years of his life, we find him in Midian. And then the last 40 years of his life, he's leading the children of Israel. In this year, in this 40 of his life, which is the second 40 of his life, you soon discover when God speaks to him, he does not speak about what has been done in his past. Notice what God does. God does not call Moses into being a leader until God erases everybody that knew what he had did wrong in the past. Okay. Watch it. The king is dead. The Hebrews who knew how messed up Moses was is dead. God says, now I can use you because people ain't going to be holding over your head what you did wrong in your past. Sometimes the reason why God has not called you is because he's erasing the mess that you created. Yeah, y'all ain't going to like that one. And so you got to stay where you are until God erases what you've done wrong. So what am I saying to you? Maybe your life is in a holding pattern because God says, I got to clean up what you messed up. Okay. Draw nigh. When you draw nigh, take off your shoes. Holy ground. This is what I want you to do. I need you to know I've heard the affliction of my people. Watch it. And I have come down to handle what I've heard. Okay. You got to see God in the text. God says, I'm not just a guy who sits on a throne, but he says, I get involved in the issues and affairs of my people. That's a good place for you right there. So you need not be dismayed. Whatever betides you, God will take care of you. I know what it seems like right now. I know what it feels like right now. But God says, I see your affliction, and I will show up to be there for you in the midst of your affliction. I got a plan to deliver you out of what you're facing. But you got to know that I'm working my plan even while you don't see it. Let's see if we can. He says, I've seen the affliction of my people, and I've come down to deliver them. When I come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, I'm going to bring them to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Notice what he says. Moses, I must establish with you who I am. Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He establishes his credibility with Moses. Moses, I need you to know who I am and what I'm capable of. He says, I need you to be confident in what you've known about me, what you've learned about me. I need you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I won't let you down. I got a plan to deliver. And he's doing the same thing to us week after week, day after day. He's just reestablishing over and over, reaffirming over and over who he is. He confirms to us over and over that I am the God of your salvation. He confirms to us over and over, I am Jehovah Nissi. I am Jehovah Shalom. I'm Jehovah Tiskunu. I'm a Jehovah. What he simply means is I am your everything. I'm your provider. I'm the one who protects you, the one that wakes you up. I need you to know who I am all the time, and don't you ever forget who I am. Is there anybody in here you can say, I can never forget who God is, because he's done so much for me. Matter of fact, he's doing so much for me right now that I cannot forget who he is. Here it is. Watch the burning bush. The bush says, I didn't really know who God was until I got caught on fire. I didn't know his identity. I didn't know his history until I got caught on fire. Now that I know him, let me testify. I don't know Bible, but I can feel his presence. I can't sing a song, but I can feel his presence. And that should cover about all of us in here right now. If you can't sing, but you can feel him, you ought to recognize him and give him glory. If you ever read about him, you ought to give him glory. You might not know too much, but you can feel his presence in the room. You can feel him moving in your life. Is there anybody in here? You might not know everything about God, but I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. Bush says, I was a nobody, and he chose to show up and use a nobody. To grab the attention of somebody. Let me see if I can help you. I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody about somebody who can change anybody. Is there any nobodies in the room? I know the poem says I am somebody, but in God I'm nobody. And I'm just trying to tell somebody about God who can change. Notice what he says. Burning bush. He says, I come down to deliver. So go tell my people. He says, who should I tell them sent me? He says, I am that I am. I'm the self-existing one. Let them know that. And that will strike a chord with them. Now, when you go, I must tell you, you're going to meet opposition. Go get the elders. You and the elders go to the king. When you get to the king, tell him you want to go into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to your God. He's going to tell you, no, I already know that. Don't worry about it. I got it covered. He says, because what I'm going to do, verse number 20, watch it. He says, I'm going to do my wonders in front of Egypt. Translate, I'm going to perform my miracles in front of Egypt. You must understand that when he says this, he's really telling Moses one thing, but we must unpack it. Here it is. He's telling Moses, I'm going to perform a miracle, but he's not telling him how he's going to do it. And if you really know anything about being in need of a miracle, to be in need of a miracle, you cannot explain what happens. If you can explain it, then it's not a miracle. Okay, let me see if I can help y'all. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 9. There is a man that is born blind. The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, the mama or the daddy? Jesus said, nobody sinned. This was done for the glory of God. Fast forward the story. The Bible teaches us that Jesus spits in the ground, makes clay, puts it on the man's eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool of Shalom. You know the story, don't you? The man goes and washes in the pool of Shalom. When he goes and washes in the pool, the people asked him, who made you whole? But he says, Jesus. Pastor Twyman, if I really had time to argue the text, it's interesting that Jesus' name is never mentioned, but the man knew who Jesus was, but I ain't got time to argue that. When you read the Bible, he says Jesus, and then he describes what happens. He says, Jesus put clay on my eyes, told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. If you can read the Bible, here's the tension of it. He never tells them everything. He never says he spit in the ground. He just says he puts clay. Because if it's a miracle, you're going to have some missing pieces. Okay, you didn't catch it. He didn't have all the details. I just know who did it. Y'all ain't going to help me preach. If you got all the details to your story, it's not a miracle. But if it's a miracle, something's missing. Okay, let me see if I can help you out. A miracle denotes this simple thing right here. I can't explain it. You might want to know, but I can't explain it. You keep looking at me. I cannot explain how he healed my body. I cannot explain how he raised me up. I cannot explain it. In the testimony of the burning bush, he agrees with the idea of a miracle. Because I can't even explain how I'm not consumed. I just know I'm not consumed. I cannot explain the miracle. I just know I'm a participant of it. I'm a recipient of the miracle. I cannot explain it. I'm just a recipient. And if you are a recipient of the grace of God, you cannot explain it. You just accept it. Testimony of the bush. He says, listen, God is making a way to deliver his people. And here I am, just a byproduct of the grace of God. That means sometimes you will experience God because God is trying to do something in other people's life, and he knows that he has to use you to start the process. And you cannot be so selfish with your life that you don't want to be the start of the process. I'm almost out of here. You must understand that he says, I'm going to do wonders in front of Egypt. And when I do wonders, it's going to grant you favor. Yeah, yeah. You're going to find favor after I perform my miracles in front. Now, he doesn't tell Moses how he's going to do it because it would be unbelievable. And there's some things God won't reveal to you because you won't believe what he's going to do. Eyes have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what great things God has in store. Because God knows if he tell you, you won't believe it. For some of y'all, God knows that if he told you what was in store for your life, you would spill the beans too soon. Because some of y'all can't hold hot water. He knows. The burning bush says to us, yeah, I could testify that he told Moses that he was getting ready to do something great. I could testify that Moses had his apprehension. But at the end of the day, can I just testify for myself? And what I've learned through this whole experience is that sometimes you ain't got to say a mumbling word. Sometimes you just need to be silent and let God do the talking. And if you learn how to be silent and let God do the talking, he'll draw people to him. Don't worry, I'm at my close already. We learned some years ago that Jesus died on the cross. And every first Sunday we sing a song that says he never said a mumbling word. Because when you know God is at work in your life, you ain't got to say much of nothing. Because what he's doing in you and through you, he'll draw people to you. You got to learn how to shut up every now and then, because God will bring people to you if you just learn how to shut up. Jesus never said a mumbling word. He hung there between two thieves, between his mother and father on earth, and never said a mumbling word. As a matter of fact, he just said, you know what? Y'all can do what you will to me, because in 3 days, this tabernacle will raise up again. You might set me on fire by how you treat me, but God knows how to put out my fire. And can I submit unto you that every now and then, what God will do in your life is he will allow you to get into something, not to get you out so that he can get in it. Don't worry, I'm out of there. You know three Hebrew boys, don't you? The Bible teaches us that they are tossed into what we call a fiery furnace. Notice here, the king says, did we not throw three in? He says, well, I see a fourth one, and it looks like the Son of God. You must understand this. What he says is they on fire, but they not burning. It hasn't destroyed them. The reason why it has not destroyed them is because God got in there with them. And I need to tell you, as I go to my close, that Moses, you ain't got to be afraid of what's about to happen. Just like I didn't destroy the burning bush with my presence, I'm not going to allow you to die by the hand of the Egyptians. So you ain't got to be fearful because I'm with you. So here is the testimony. If God before you, he's more than the world against you. Here is the testimony that God is calling you through your affliction. Here is the testimony that God will make a way out of no way. Here is the testimony. If you're sick in your body, he's able to heal. Here is the testimony that God is getting ready to make a way for your escape. Here is the testimony that one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus died for you and me. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He's staying there all night Friday, but he gave it back early Sunday morning when he rose with all power in his hand. He didn't even check out. He left the key at the door. He says, I'm out of here and you can have the grave clothes, because it was never designed to destroy me. It was designed to save you. I'm trying to help somebody. The burning bush wasn't designed to destroy. It was designed to save the people. Can I help you today? God is not trying to destroy you. He's trying to save you. He's trying to save the people around you. And you got to open up your mouth, tell your friends and your family that God is trying to save you. The Bible says that he will draw men unto him. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Is there anybody here today? You willing to lift Jesus just a little bit higher? Well, if you can lift him, he'll draw. The Bible says that when he saw the flame, it drew Moses. Can I help you out today? You want to get close to somebody that's on fire for God? I'm trying to help you get it today, because if you can get closer to somebody that's on fire, you might hear what you need. Is there anybody in here you need to hear God speak? Well, you want to get close. Get close to the burning bush. For the last testimony of the bush is that I'm on fire, you got close, and you got the word that you needed. Get close to somebody that's on fire.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.